Hello, everyone. Welcome back. You just tuned in to Set for Success with your host, Richard Lannan. Now, you knew that already because you listened to that wonderful intro with all the music. And guess what we're going to do? We're going to continue our journey to help you create the success that you deserve, whether it's in your business, your career, or your life. And we're going to do this through chatting with one person at a time to uncover people's lives, their business, their journey, their successes. And as I've already said, to help you create the success that you deserve, and you do deserve to be successful. You know what? I want you to say that to yourself right now. Actually, say it out loud. Stand up right now wherever you are and say, I deserve to be successful. Thank you for doing that. All right. So if you listen to the show, you know that I love quotes, and I get on what my friend says, the Google. Get on the Google and check out some quotes, and that's exactly what I do. So let me make sure I find the one. This is what we're going to go with today. Before Nelson Mandela was arrested in 1962, he was an angry, relatively young man. He founded the ANC military wing. When he was released, he surprised everyone because he was talking about reconciliation and forgiveness and not about revenge. Now, that quote comes from Desmond Tutu. So if you don't know who Desmond Tutu is, he's a South African Anglican clergy, very well known for his work in the area of anti-apartheid and human rights activists. He was a bishop of Johannesburg from about 85 to 1986, and the Archbishop of Cape Town from 1986 to 1996. He's basically considered he identifies himself as a bit of a socialist, but he is also heavy into African theology and black theology to basically solve political issues. He's well known for his work in the world, and I believe he's still alive today. I was checking that out on the internet, but I'm really not too sure. So here we go, guys. Often when it comes to the show and stuff for success and discuss ways to make business people better, and that's basically what we try to do. That spreads all over into the professional world and into our personal lives. You can't really have one without the other, right? I mean, your business, professional, personal life, everything is all connected. I love business, and I particularly love to help business people become more successful. It's a bit of a passion of mine, right? So if you listen to the show, you know this already. But not because I want them to make more money. I want them to invest in the community and create opportunities for other people. But the life of a business person or professional does take a toll, and we always have a debt to play. You see, here's the way I look at it, and this is after working with people over many years. You can't have one person or group try and get ahead to make change or to advance some without someone getting hurt. And I hate to say it, don't get me wrong, consensus is a good thing. Unfortunately, you can't make everybody happy, and eventually you have to reconcile. So then I thought to myself, well, what is the definition of reconciliation? It's a noun, and it simply means restore friendly relations, or the action of making one view or belief compatible with another. That is the simple dictionary definition of reconciliation. So when I look at the vast country that we live in and travels from a little town of Placentia, Newfoundland, to the days in Toronto, to living on the Pacific coast and being part of the oil boom in Alberta, and living in the province of Manitoba presently, which has saved my life twice, I see a country that is joined by Canadian presence, yet separated by regional disparity and the issues that lie beneath the surface. Or maybe they live beneath the surface. You know, when it comes to investing in somebody's future, in your future, our future, the restoration of friendly relations, reconciliation, is not a bad thing. So here's what we're going to do today. As I gave the show some thought, I was wondering who could come in and share their life journey with us, who is a Canadian who is into reconciliation. Maybe give us a bit of their story about their life and their business and helping others. So someone I know would let me talk and ask all the wrong questions, but give me all the right answers. And that's going to be the important part, because I suspect today's show I'm going to ask all the wrong questions, but I'm going to get the right answers. So as luck would have it, Jessica Damas was available today to come and chat with us. And Jessica, welcome to the show.
Hi, Richard. What a great opening. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
I enjoyed that.
When I was writing that particular opening, I was like, ooh, does this sound okay? I'm really not too sure.
It's great because it's really deep, it's really wide, and I think that's what reconciliation should be about. So good job.
Okay. Oh, well, thank you very much. I'm already happy. you know what, Jessica, I always like to start off with a very base question. We talked about it before the show starts. Let's just get a bit of history on yourself. You know, who is Jessica? And why are you hanging out with me?
Sure, yeah. Thank you very much. I'm excited to be back. for my second visit.
That's right. You were with me 3 years ago. That's right.
Yeah, something like that. So I am, I identify as an Indigenous woman, Anishinaabe, and grew up here in Winnipeg, lived my whole life here, and I love Winnipeg. I've had the opportunity to do a little bit of traveling, and I love it here, so I'm happy where we are.
It is a cool city,
isn't it?
It's a cool
city.
People ask me about Winnipeg, and I always say it's a lifestyle city, mm-hmm. you know, and because I've lived in the Toronto and the Calgary and the Vancouver and stuff like this, mm-hmm. and I guess some people refer to those as lifestyle city, but I don't know. People tend to just be people here.
I like it.
You know,
yeah.
and I don't know if you get that in every other city.
I can't say for sure.
So, anyway,
so yeah, grew up here in the city of Winnipeg, and I have three boys. I graduated from St. John's High School in the North End, and I think I pretty much spent my whole life just kind of seeking my purpose. And so I've had a lot of opportunities to do that through finishing school and being the first family member in my family to finish high school, attend university, do stuff like that. And yeah, so today I'm an entrepreneur, and I sit on the board of the Winnipeg Chamber of Commerce. So I love to be involved in community, helping community.
I was noticing that. I was taking a look at your website. So we'll come back to the fact that you are a business person, mm-hmm. entrepreneur. But I noticed your photos ops on your website are fabulous. Like, you've met some very interesting people.
Yeah, it's been really fun. And you know what? I dedicate that to volunteering.
Okay.
I started volunteering in high school. And I don't know why everybody doesn't do it, because I've got the opportunity to do so many fun things and meet really cool people because of volunteering. Plus, practicing skills, trying new skills, learning a network. So that's all to volunteering.
Yeah. I think that's awesome that you'd share that right away. And I know that for myself, I sometimes struggle with volunteering.
Mm-hmm.
And what most people don't know about me, I'm actually really an introvert.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me to go out with in a group of people, mm-hmm. I can't believe I'm sharing this show right after the intro. This event is just like, it's a big deal, right? It's a really big deal. And so whenever I meet somebody who can just sort of go do that, mm-hmm. and get all the photo ops and meet all these interesting people. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah. And I think volunteering is not necessarily about being an introvert or an extrovert, because we all have lots of skills to offer.
True.
It's just finding the right network to use those
skills.
To
hang skills. Out in. Yeah. Just find the right place to hang your hat.
Absolutely.
You know what? We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, I think we'll talk a little bit about the business that you're in right now. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be hanging out with Jessica, and we'll be right back. Everyone, welcome back. I'm hanging out with Jessica Dumas. Did I get it right this time,
That's
Jessica?
Right.
Yeah, I want to make sure. I know we've been debating how your name should be pronounced.
According to us.
According to us. Yeah, no kidding. Isn't it the way that is? I get people that mess up my last name, too. And it's just like, really?
Yeah, that's a pretty easy name, I would say.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is. Thank you.
Lennon.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah, there you go, right?
Lennon? But,
no.
Maybe that's
that.
What they're calling
I get,
you.
I get all sorts of weird ones, actually. Names just absolutely fascinate me. Actually, you know what? Let's start there. Since we're talking about names, I did know in the close and the last segment, I'd say, we'll talk about your business and everything.
Okay.
But tell me the history of your name.
The history of my name?
Yeah.
I don't know if I know the history of my name.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
I have one little story.
Yeah.
So my middle name is Sue.
Okay.
And it's funny because my friends will only learn that after we've exchanged an e-transfer, and they're like, your middle name is Sue?
Yeah.
So my mom's middle name is Susan.
Okay.
And my grandma told me that my mom thought she was naming me after her, Carol Sue and Jessica Sue, and then she realized, oh, your middle name's actually Susan, so we don't have the same middle name. That's the only history
That's
of my name that
name.
I know.
It would be interesting to take a look, because when I was driving down, I was thinking about your last name, and I was wondering about the history of it, so that's why I just
okay.
sort of popped
so
in my...
you know what? Silly me. I was thinking Jessica or Sue. So Dumas.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that name.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you were talking about the last name. Oh,
So there's a lot of Dumases in Manitoba.
Yeah.
And I'm at events all the time, and people are coming up to me saying, do you know this Dumas from Northern Manitoba, First Nation communities? And often I don't know them. And I've sat with other Dumases to say, are we related? Like, where's this name coming from?
Yeah.
And my name is from the Red River Métis right here in this region.
Okay.
And so my great, 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 great grandfather, something like that, was the secretary to Louis Riel.
Oh, wow. So yeah. There's some history there.
Yeah. Michel Dumas. And so, Dumas. Was the way that I was told that he pronounced it. So somewhere along the line, we started just saying Dumas. So
yeah, yeah,
I don't know where that came from. Yeah. And I think I'd like to start using Dumas, but people wouldn't know who I am. I don't know.
Yeah,
can you do that?
Yeah, well, you can do whatever you want with your name, I think. You know, it's up to you, I guess. But I think that's an awesome history.
Yeah.
Because I was wondering the Métis connection.
Yeah.
Right? I was thinking about that. So, and I didn't know. And so you remember in my opening, I said I might ask all the wrong questions, but
yeah,
I'll get the right answers.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask a wrong question. There might be a wrong question. Is it, you know, if can I ask you, are you Métis? Is that acceptable for me to ask?
Well, personally, I think that's fine. There might be some people who are not comfortable with that.
Yeah,
so just because I think it's okay doesn't mean that everybody else would.
Okay. So mm-hmm. Can I get an answer to that? What is your background? Like, what is your background?
So I usually identify as Anishinaabe.
Anishinaabe,
which is one of the five original Indigenous peoples from this region.
Okay.
And but so is the Red River Métis. And I mean, I can identify as Métis. I don't usually. And I think it's just because I've felt more of a connection to my grandmother, who is Anishinaabe from Kisikunan First Nation in Manitoba. And so I feel that connection. I feel like that's where my identity is.
Okay.
Yeah. But I am definitely Métis.
You're definitely Métis. Yeah. And it's just one of those, you know, I get people all the time that will ask me, you know, very similar question. They'll mm-hmm. but they'll say things like, are you Irish? And I sometimes mm-hmm. think about that and I go, yeah, okay, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Now I'm actually blended, you know, there's a whole history there too.
Mm-hmm.
But I do sometimes wonder, well, is that appropriate?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And now I don't say I'm freckled. I tell people I'm speckled. Right.
Well,
you know, so
it is interesting because I think one of the challenges that we have as humans in today is we want to label everything. And it's not always necessary.
So, yeah.
I mean, sometimes it is. And it's funny for me to say that because I speak about Indigenous rights and Indigenous awareness, and that's very important to me. So as important as labels are, they also aren't. So it is like it's kind of
it's a weird
odd
thing.
Situation
it,
to
I
al- be in.
I also find that that depending on where you are in our country, people ask or answer the question differently.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I know that. So, for example, I was born in a small town, small community in Newfoundland. Right, know all my first, second, third, fourth, fifth cousins. I know my generational background. I mean, it dates back into the 1700s. So there's a lot of history there in terms of this part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very fascinating when I go to like a small community that knows my last name because they don't know me by what I do or who I am. They know me by who I'm related to. and I've been in conversations with people where they just talk about your lineage and they talk about who you're related to and why you are the way you are and how you act and who you
funny.
And it's freaky. It is freaky because you live in a big city. Nobody does that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So. You start to recognize things about yourself and you're like, huh, what's going on here?
What's going on here? Well, I get a little freaked out and have to leave personally. We were talking a bit about your business. I thought you gave a really nice opener there. Tell us a little bit about the business that you're involved in right now, because I know you're an entrepreneur and I know you've been, if I read your bio correctly, you've been working on this company, I think, or this area for 10 years. Would that be about right?
So I've been facilitating since I was in high school, thanks to my high school guidance counselor, who was just always really encouraging to me. So my business is Jessica Dumas Coaching and Training. And so I started as an entrepreneur, as a life coach. That was my first, you know, sort of I guess, public announcement of I'm an entrepreneur and this is who I am.
Yeah.
So I was trying to figure out, how do you make money as a life coach?
Well, yeah, okay. Fair question.
And so I kind of stumbled through that and eventually got back to facilitating and developing workshops, training workshops. And so that's the majority of the work that I do. So right now I have probably about 10 workshops that I offer. The most popular for sure would be Indigenous history and awareness and reconciliation workshops. And but I also do customer service, public speaking skills. I do some strategic planning. And I also work with several other facilitators so that I'll hire, bring them in. So I have a team that I work with.
So you've built your business over time. Mm-hmm. Well, the interesting thing I thought was is right at the beginning when you started talking about your business, it sounds like you're specialized in the area of mm-hmm. reconciliation and working with businesses mm-hmm. In that field. So what we'll do is we'll take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk about that.
Okay.
This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, all. Welcome back. I am hanging out with Jessica. Yeah, don't worry. I know your last name, Dumas. Dumas. And we're basically been talking a bit about her company and the work that she's doing, a little bit on the generational side, on both our sides, right? Mm-hmm. A little bit of both of our histories. Mm-hmm. Just before the break, you mentioned that you're involved in Indigenous awareness and reconciliation. Mm-hmm. It's a lot on the media today mm-hmm. in this whole space. I guess maybe the question to ask is what is Indigenous awareness and reconciliation? Mm-hmm. Maybe that's where sure. I start. So that sort of umbrella question, mm-hmm. just to let you go with it.
Okay. Yeah. So I grew up not really knowing anything about my identity. So we had an opportunity to talk about how we identify. And as a kid, there was never any discussion. So I started to think that, well, whoever we were didn't matter. And that was sort of the type of environment that I grew up in. And so when I got a little bit older, I wanted to know, well, actually, it was as a result of my brother's death in 2005, that there was just a lot of change in my life publicly. And because my brother was killed by the police, and so it was a very public event, and on the news for days. And one of the things that changed was the Indigenous community reaching out to us in a way that I've never seen. And so I started learning about some of the traditions that they would use to recognize a death and that sort of thing, ceremonies. And I saw that Indigenous people that were like me, didn't live really good lives. And I wanted to know, why is that? Why is there so much poverty? Why is there so much addiction? Why do we have such a big percentage of Indigenous people in the justice system? And so I wanted to know why. And I started to look for more information. Eventually, I had to go to university because I wasn't finding any of these answers. And when I started to learn about the history of the Indian Act, residential schools, 60 scoops, so a lot of these, you know, phrases that I think sometimes people hear them, but they don't really know how they're tied together. So I started learning that. And as I was learning that, I thought, people need to know this. Mm. And because it started getting more attention in the media, more people are having conversations about it, and a lot of people having conversations that were not really beneficial to the truth. And so I was like, okay, people need to know what I know. How can I help bring this information? And I've, you know, continue to try to do my best to do that.
Mm. It's interesting that you said a statement, people need to know the truth. And mm-hmm. right away, that brought me to the whole thought of history. Mm-hmm. The history is written from the perspective of one person's truth. Mm-hmm. And therefore, whatever history you're reading is not always the full story.
Right.
You know, and so mm-hmm. it's not necessarily And this is another one you often hear. I've been in conversation. People go, well, you know, they just want to rewrite history. Mm-hmm. No, just maybe they want to write history.
Right. Right.
And that just doesn't mean that, you know, it's trying to eliminate somebody, one history mm-hmm. that never existed. It means
that's
like,
right.
looking at the full story. You mm-hmm. know, and it, to me, it sounds like you're trying to get in that sort of 360 view of what really happened. Mm-hmm. Is it okay for me to state it that way?
Yeah, for yeah. sure. Yeah. Yeah. There's, I mean, a lot of crazy and amazing things have happened in Canada.
Yes, and they have.
Yeah.
They have. And other places in the world too.
Absolutely.
Not just Canada. But,
right.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah. so like,
but,
yeah, Canada.
But our education system is structured in the way that other people who are not in the classroom decide what we're going to be taught, right? And if you look at any of our curriculum today, it's people from a long time ago chose what we're going to be learning about in school, history, English, that sort of thing. Sometimes, like, I've got three boys, so my 15-year-old's in grade 10 right now, and he brings home some topics. I won't get too much into it,
Why are you learning this? Yeah.
Does it make any sense? Why not use a legitimate, true story that's going to benefit you in your English and in your history?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But Indigenous people have never had the opportunity to tell their story the way that they do today. Mm. So, lots of amazing things happening all over the place. And I'm just really happy to be a part of that, to be a part of the solution. That's what I feel like I'm doing.
You know, I think that's amazing that you are. And then some of the programs are in too. You talked a little bit about when we were on break, mm-hmm. We were talking a bit about the Indian Act.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually asked you the question. And mm-hmm. again, the idea of maybe I'm asking the wrong question to get the right answer. But I sort of asked the question, isn't that even the appropriate name anymore?
Mm-hmm.
Are you willing to speak on that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very good question.
Yeah, because I don't know a lot about the Indian mm-hmm. Act, so maybe we can talk a bit about what the Indian Act is and
sure.
maybe the gist of it. And,
sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
So the Indian Act was created in 1876, and it's overseen and operated by the federal government. And I don't know the number exactly. It's over 200,000, I think, of Indigenous people in Canada have an Indian status card. So I have an Indian status card. The Indian Act created reserves. And so it's under the reserves, under the reserve system, that all of these, there are certain rules that apply and certain restrictions and that sort of thing. So it's an act that's still overseen. Now there's two departments that oversee the Indian Act. So it's a very real document. And I have Indian status. And so the word Indian is tied to that legislation. It's tied to specific rights. And it's tied to the creation of Canada. So that's why it's something that can't be completely eliminated.
Okay. All right.
But the word Indian also has a lot of negativity tied to it because the way that, you know, and not at our fault, but Indians and that word was just a negative thing.
Mm.
And so it's still used because it's tied to that.
It's a legal document.
It's a legal document.
Yeah.
And but of course, and I think people know this, it's not a word that is encouraged to be used.
Well, the other challenge with that is that I do a law, as you know, you and I share a very common field because I do a lot of workshops and everything, mm-hmm. but I also involved with several major institutions.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do a lot of teaching or facilitating with international students.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have students that are from India
mm-hmm.
who are reference themselves as being Indian.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So in that context, the term is appropriate,
mm-hmm.
right? I struggle with as a Canadian, I struggle mm-hmm. with the appropriateness of that term in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
On a very personal
yeah.
level.
Yeah. And so internally in the community, we'll use that word when we're talking about status card and sometimes even a little bit of humor. We'll use that word I think we use humor to try and some of it is coping, right?
Oh,
we're
course,
managing and we're growing. And so, you know, that's kind of where you'll hear that word.
I appreciate the explanation of this. We're going to take another short break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the important work that you do. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello and welcome back. I'm hanging out today with Jessica Dumas. And did I get it right this
time?
I want to make sure.
Yeah.
I'm going to start pronouncing it Duma. though, because you told me about your granddad and the story, the great family story you shared. Obviously, a moment with your grandfather, right? Mm-hmm. Always important. Mm-hmm. Which actually goes to the heart of building relationships. Mm-hmm. Building relationships in family, building relationships with friends, mm-hmm. building a relationship with business. And I know one of the things you're involved in is in, you know, creating relationships. Mm-hmm. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure.
Why it's so important.
Yeah, so I do a lot of public speaking. I've done some keynotes with the Asper School and just in different groups. One of the favorite times that I have in when I get to either go into a business to do a workshop, or sometimes it's board of directors, but a group of people, whether they know each other or not, don't have the opportunity to talk about some of the things that they talk about in my workshop. So I invite everyone to share a little bit about their history, their how they identify, what they celebrate in their culture, that sort of thing. And the amazing thing that happens with that, and when I started asking that question, I didn't really know what was going to happen. I just thought, let's engage everyone, and people like to talk about themselves. And so one of the things that I realized was, you're sharing a personal story for the very first time with a group of people that think they know you. So that's amazing, because not only are we taking some time for us to share about Indigenous history and share why I think this is important, and obviously they're there, they think that's important, but they're learning about each other. And when you start sharing personal stories, you realize, wow, my family does that. Or, you know, you find different ways that you're connected. And when you find those ways that you're connected, you start to care about each other. You start to, you know, want to defend each other's beliefs. And I just, you know, it was sort of something that was just kind of unexpected. It's been amazing, because then people at the end of the day are hugging, they're crying together because they are open. And that's a real relationship.
Yeah,
right?
That's because you're vulnerable, right? You're allowed that vulnerability mm-hmm. in a safe place and to expand. I'm just curious, when you talk about the people that you're working with, are we talking about mixed culture environments? Again, mm-hmm. am I asking the right the wrong question
to
get the right answer?
No, that's a perfectly fine question. Yeah. And we're a very diverse community, right? And I think we say that a lot.
Oh, we are.
And we are. We see that. But we don't really, I don't think that we really, really engage in that. And so when we're in a workplace, we have all of these different people that sometimes we don't even know who in the room identifies as Métis. Mm. Because there's a time in history where Métis didn't proudly identify or recognize as being Métis, because it wasn't a safe place for them. So if they could identify as French, or if they could identify as white, then they would do that. Mm. And so, you know, for the past 15 or 20 years, you're seeing more people, and also more recently, more people identify as Métis and connecting with that heritage, because they want to know, oh, really? Like, I have Métis heritage. I didn't know that. Maybe their grandparents told them not to talk about it. That's a very common story.
The secret in the family.
Right? You know? And so when we're having these conversations, so one of the, I call it Essential Discussions for Indigenous Inclusion. I just came up with this really long name a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I can't let it go, because it is essential discussions. It's very important. It's very critical that we have these discussions in safe places, so that if you say the wrong thing, that's okay, because we've created a safe space to say, let's ask a stupid question, or a question we think is stupid and we're scared to ask.
You're not too sure, right?
And so when you're learning that about your coworkers or people that you know, work closely with, network with, whatever, you're like, oh, wow, they have this history. They're connected to this. Maybe their grandparents went to residential school and you're learning how it's affected them, the struggles that they've been through. Wow. You know, like those things, you can't do that anywhere else.
You know, I have to agree with you, because I have lots of these stories myself with working with different people. And I shouldn't say amazed, you know, because it's something I know is normal. But the assumptions that we make about other people and their lives, you know, mm-hmm. it's maybe to this day, it still surprises me a bit that, you know, there's no way they could have experienced something that I experienced or close to it because mm-hmm. they're white or they're, mm-hmm. let's go with color, white, bread, mm-hmm. red, brown, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, right? Because whatever terms or words they're using mm-hmm. In explanation or in their own thought process. And once the story's out there, mm-hmm. it's just like you often hear people, oh, well, I experienced that too. I lived in a two-room schoolhouse and mm-hmm. had an outhouse for my bathroom when I was young. Mm-hmm. And by the way, that's a real story that came out from somebody. And it surprised another individual. They're like, really? Mm-hmm. You know, but you shouldn't be, right? Well, why wouldn't I? My mm-hmm. parents were poor.
Yeah. Know? And I think Manitoba has a lot of those stories, right? Yeah. There's a lot of people that struggled, a lot of people that were new to Canada more recently and 50, 100 years ago. And so there's a lot of those stories. And so, yeah, it's definitely a really good opportunity to learn more about them.
The other thing you said that was very interesting, and I think a lot of people miss this, is that we really exist in a metropolitan type environment. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is if you do a search for the, I guess, the culture demographics of Winnipeg and Manitoba, mm-hmm. it's 2% of this, 3% of this, 5% of this, 7% of this, mm-hmm. 8% of this, 5% of this. Like the percentages between the different variations are really small. Mm-hmm. And you don't get that everywhere else in Canada. Mm-hmm. And it's an amazing thing to look at. And I think it's from the city of Winnipeg. You can actually look, you can look it up online and you can actually get the numbers mm-hmm. of how the city is distributed culturally.
Yeah.
And to me, it's a fascinating number mm-hmm. and one that we should embrace that's unique. If somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how would they go about doing that?
My website is jessicadumas.com. So if you remember my name, you can remember my website. Yeah, that's pretty easy.
We played with your name a little bit here.
Yeah. Yeah, there is an S, jessicadumas.com. Yeah. But I always tell people, if you really want to find me, you'll Google me and you will find me.
Yeah, it'll just show up, right?
Yeah.
You've been doing a few things. I got to ask you a few questions.
Okay.
So I was looking at lists of things that you had.
Okay.
And going with the whole question of the idea that, well, some things you just don't know. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that one of the things you had was Kairos blanket exercise. I have no idea what that
is. Sure,
What is that?
It's a learning activity and it's by a group called Kairos. So that's where that name comes from. They're a national organization and they, about 20 years ago, created this learning activity and we have facilitators all over the place.
Okay.
And so I'm one of the facilitators. They have partnerships with Kairos and because it's very sensitive material that we're sharing and we want to make sure that it's done in a very safe way. And when I say that, what I mean is we don't want to trigger people or put people in situations where emotionally they're, you know, triggering memories that are harsh. Residential school especially.
Yeah.
And so the activity is it's a role-playing activity. So everyone stands on blankets and then we read through scripts and that's how we get the learning. And the entire activity is about an hour and a half to 2 hours because there's some important intros and ending
you gotta
to do.
Set it up and you gotta debrief. I call it debriefing.
Debrief,
so,
yeah.
So you gotta do all
hugging,
that properly,
crying.
Making sure everybody's in space.
Yeah.
I've heard this many times. What's a smudge?
A smudge is a traditional cleansing practice and it's sort of combined with prayer, but you're lighting sage, which is a natural grass that it legitimately purifies the air. But it's a spiritual practice where you're sort of cleansing the room, cleansing yourself. And it's a beautiful practice.
Actually, that sounds, when you were saying that, I was thinking about, wow, how beautiful that sounds.
Yeah.
You know, everybody needs a good cleansing periodically.
Absolutely.
you're an awesome guest. You know, I always enjoy hanging out with you because and we were saying this during the break too, that, you know what, we just don't have enough time together. We could literally probably go and chat for hours and share a lot of stuff about our lives, right? That would just make us both better people.
I really enjoyed this. Yeah. Thank you very much.
If you had a final thought for our listeners, you probably only about 10 seconds, so to give it, what would it be?
let's connect. I'd love to connect and learn more and share. That's
okay. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. That's a good one. Jessica, thank you for joining us today. Listeners, thank you for tuning in, hanging out, you know, and I want to thank you very much overall. If you got a thought, an idea, or a question about the show, richard@setforsuccess.ca. I always love these journeys, and I want you to remember something: to do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.